share experience with you I had many, many years ago, almost 35 years ago, which was quite exciting for me to share it with you because I've been waiting for years to actually see it come to pass again. As many of you know, I and a group of other brethren were delivered out of a Pentecostal church at that time. We all happened to be people that was really digging in the Bible for ourselves, and God was giving us light, and light that went beyond this denominational cage that they had built. And so we all had actually received revelations from the Lord that were above and beyond the scope of this particular religion. So we, as we sought the Lord, each one of us seeking the Lord for confirmations and things, God did send the confirmations. And so basically we were sprung from that religion, and quite a good little group separated from them, and I had a very large home in the Sherwood Forest area of Baton Rouge. I had a home on Manorwood at the time, and I had a very, very large living room, and of course we had a very large two-car plus, I would say, garage at the end of it. And I knocked out a wall between those two, and we carpeted it from end to end, and we had a really good size assembly room there. And we gathered together. Here we were, basically sprung from this. God had sent us an apostle. He had ordained elders. I was one of them, and there was a couple of other brothers there that were elders. And as we studied the scriptures, we just could not see the Nicolaitan format, I would call it, of a church service, as they call it, okay? You know, the Lord says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come unto thee and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Of course, we want to do the first works. We want to walk in the steps of the first church, don't we? We want to go further back than just our first works, but we want to be walking in the steps of the first church. And verse 6 says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." And as you know, the Nicolaitans was a priestly order of some guy being over the church, basically, a clergy system, you know. And Nikeo means to conquer, and Laotian means the laity. There was a difference between the priestly order and what they call the laity. That was the common folks, the clergy and the laity. They made a division here. But that's strange. Apostle Paul said we're all brethren, right? There's no divisions. We are one body. There's no divisions. And so in that Nicolaitan format, I'll call it, or structure, I'll call it, pretty much the pastor, in some other groups it may be the prophet, or in the other groups it may be the apostle or whatever, but some guy, some person, basically took control over the whole service. And it's very clear from the scriptures that we have teachers. In many cases, God first sends forth an apostle to raise up a church or group of churches, and he lays a foundation, and that foundation itself begins to raise up other people, other elders, into positions of authority as God chooses. And as you know, in the scriptures, the apostle ordains elders. However, I will say this, it isn't the apostle at all. It's the apostle being able to hear the voice of the Lord to ordain elders. And then the Bible says to obey them that have the rule over you, you know? So we did things quite differently. And it was a real breath of fresh air. We recognized that the church that we'd come out of, because one guy was over it, he had limited knowledge, limited experience, limited gifts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that God never ordained this to be, that it was truly the Nicolaitan error that was causing this. And so we did things a little differently, and I think every one of us was so edified, and we just loved the experience of it. We determined to come together and meet and let the Holy Spirit be the head of the church, and which is basically what the Bible says. And we would just come together praying and seeking the Lord, each one of us, in our own studies, in our own search for God, you know, putting in our hearts what God would put in our hearts from His leading us through His Word and putting scriptures in us and so on and so forth. We just put it in our hearts. And I learned that when you put it in your heart, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings all things to your remembrance, he said, and he brings it forth in a way and in a form and in a community and in a cooperation with other people that is just beautiful. It is just beautiful. It's just so edifying. We were all so happy to see what the Holy Spirit was doing. That's not to say that elders don't give teachings, and obviously everybody's not to teach, according to James. You know, but the gifts are poured forth, and it's quite legal for all of the body to have gifts and them to come together and have a body ministry which builds up and meets all the needs of the body. There is a time for laying foundations and a time for raising up elders and a time for the body to minister to itself. And basically what we're trying to do, folks, is to, you know, be used of God to work ourselves out of a job in many people's lives, you know, raise up people into the image of Jesus Christ. And who can do that better than Jesus Christ in his own body, right? So let me just read a few scriptures to you here. I'm going to start, and I know that you know these by heart, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I am going to start in verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts. Do all these gifts belong to the elders? No, they don't. They're spread throughout the body, right? But the same Spirit. There's one commonality here, is they come from the same Spirit. Now, who can coordinate all of these gifts better than the Holy Spirit can? Okay? And there are diversities of ministrations and the same Lord. Yep, different gifts in different people work different ways. I mean, that's just the many gifted ways of God, you know. There are diversities of workings, but the same God. One common ruler here, and that is God himself, who worketh all things in all. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. So each one of us is given these manifestations, these gifts, whatever God chooses for each one of us, to profit the whole body, right? And we know from chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, so also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church. So he's speaking to everybody here, you know, to edify the church body. When do you suppose the body can edify itself and build itself up, except when they come together? You know, Paul said, I would that I was able to come to you and impart to you some spiritual gift. It meaning, of course, that he needed to come there so that he could do that, right? Well, we impart gifts to one another when we come together. And so this is what he's talking about. When the fellowship, the body, comes together, that there should be freedom for each one to grow in their gift. I know that it's hard, especially when you're talking about something as big and as spread out as UBM is. it's very hard for everybody to do this. But we're looking, we're doing search, we're trying to be used of the Lord, and we're starting out where we can start out with, and that is with the community of the elders. That's what we're doing right now. So to experience this same kind of thing once again. First with the elders, and then hopefully in the whole body. So each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. How is that going to happen if all do not receive the gift from this individual? Right? For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another a faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings in the one Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discernings of spirits, and to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing each one severally, even as he will. So, it's all done by the same Spirit. He's the only one that can coordinate it. He's the only one. He moves through different people. It doesn't have to be all controlled. You go into churches nowadays, and the pastor who is a Nicolaitan pastor will take control over the prophets and tell them that they have to come and speak their prophecy unto them before they can share it before the church and this kind of stuff, you know. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says let each prophesy one by one and let the others discern. And of course you may get discernment of a person who has a false spirit, and you may disallow them, you know, or you may correct them, or whatever. These are, of course, under the jurisdiction of the elders, right? And especially the prophets of the elders. Right? So let me read on just a little bit more. It says, For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So there is the corporate worldwide body of Christ, and there is also the local body of Christ. That is, if you permit it. And the Nicolaitan error does not permit it. It does not permit the individuality of all these different ministries of the body of Christ. And so they don't get to grow up and mature, not only in their gifts, but in the ministration that the gifts do to them. So, verse 13 says, For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. We're all of us, made to drink of one Spirit. And that Spirit shouldn't be the pastor's Spirit. It should be the Holy Spirit. Right? And again, some groups use their prophet for their head, and some apostles, and of course all of them claiming some title, you know. Verse 14, For the body is not one member, but many. And why did you say that? Because you'd think that the body is just one member if you went into most churches. Okay? But many. And of course it goes on to speak about the different parts of the body, now that they're each one individually needed. And verse 18 says, But now hath God set the members, each one of them in the body, even as it pleased him. It's too bad that most of what the Lord is doing in this regard is being thwarted. You know? Again, there's a time for laying the foundation. There's a time for teaching. Always a time for teaching. And sometimes, you know, concentrated teachings, even like the Apostle Paul here is teaching in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. These are concentrated teachings. There obviously was no interruption here, but he was able to share this, send it out to the churches. They, of course, shared it with the churches. And, of course, we do that today sometimes, too. Things are sent to us that we share. Gifts are sent. Dreams are sent. So on and so forth. Sometimes we let people come and share it, or sometimes we just read it off the page that it was sent on, right? And if they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, how can you have a body if it's just one member? How can you have a body if there's one man in control and everybody else is spectator. How can this be? Okay. But now, there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Let me go on down a little bit here. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. See, doesn't it look to you like the members of the body are supposed to have some ministry of caring one for another? Of course, if the Holy Spirit has given us these gifts to profit with all, to profit the whole body, then everybody has something for someone else, some way to help care for the rest of the body. And again, he keeps bringing it up all the way through here. This wouldn't work if there's just one member, right? There are many members. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it, or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. But ye are the body of Christ, and severally members thereof. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. He's not talking about the order of importance here. He's talking about the foundations being laid in the church, right? Because, you know, none of us are really more important than the other, right? We just have a different work, a different ministry. Thirdly, teachers, then miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diverse kinds of tongues. See, all of these are ministries. Not all of these are elders. He mentioned the elders first, but these are all ministries. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover, a most excellent way show I unto you. And I'm going to jump over and read what he has to say about when you come together. Chapter 14, verse 26. What is it then, brethren, when you come together? This is obviously the assembly, right? What many call the church. Each one hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Amen. Whatever edifies the body and works. And I want to tell you something that we learned in that first assembly that we made after coming out of, I would say, Babylon. We learned that this was very edifying. We could come with our faith in the Holy Spirit to do a work and to share something wonderful. And he never disappointed us. We were all very excited to see what God did after coming through a Nicolaitan church. We got our eyes opened. Okay? If any man speaketh in a tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that in turn, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And let the prophet speak by two or three, and let the others discern. But if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silence. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be exhorted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And, of course, he goes on to give some more order in the church. You know, but concerning the women, and we know that he tells us here that as in all the churches of the saints, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. And he's, I believe, quite clearly speaking about 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 through 14, where he identifies the speaking as teaching or taking authority. because obviously women, 1 Corinthians 11, you know, if they have their head covered, they can pray and they can prophesy, and that is speaking, but it's not teaching or taking authority. And it's obviously praying is not to the people or taking authority over the people, but it's to God. There's nothing wrong with ever praying to God. And prophesying, of course, is not from the woman, but from God, or it should be, to the people. So there's nothing wrong there. And also, prophecy can come in many forms. It can come in a vision. It can come in a dream. It can, and so on. And testimonies are not teaching or taking authority. And, you know, you might disagree with me there. You may want to draw the line slightly over to the left or slightly over to the right, but that's okay. You know, we'll just pray until we all come into the unity of the faith, right? Now, here's what I want to share with you, something that really opened our eyes as to the programming of going to church day after day after day after day. There is a programming that happens in your heart. You don't even realize it. You can get a wonderful revelation about the way it's supposed to be, and this thing actually come back over you. Here's what happened. We decided we were going to go to a building. So we went to a building that was kind of set up. You know, when we gathered in my home, we generally put the chairs in a kind of a, I would say kind of like a shape of a football. You know, you couldn't make a circle because the room was very long. But we put the chairs in such a way that nobody was really more important than anyone else, and that everyone felt apart, and that everyone could see that they were to minister to the body. And we taught that, and it worked wonderfully. Well, you know, we decided to get a building, and the building was pretty much already set up for a church. And it was just astounding to me what happened in the hearts and minds of the people. It was like we started, that programming began to take over. Now we got this building, you know. And this programming that was in our mind from our previous life started to take over. And before you know it, everybody was feeling more like a spectator and more like they wanted to just sit there and listen to somebody. And we realized the error, we realized the spirit that was coming back in there, and we fought against it. But it was an amazing eye-opener to me. So I tell you, you have to fight against this. First of all, we want to have a New Testament assembly. We want to see the body minister to itself. We want to see the elders, you know, you don't need anybody to control who speaks and the elders. You need someone to correct if people get out of line. You know, there's always some people that are just, they're just talkative. They're outgoing. They're extroverted, which doesn't necessarily mean they have a gift to speak an anointed word. Everybody knows that because a lot of the very gifted speakers out there in the worldly church are that. They have a very good gift of gab, but not necessarily any gift to give an anointed word that sets the captive free. So you've all experienced that, and you know it's the truth. So there are people that they need some restraint because they're just over-talkative and they're not really moving in the anointing. And so you have to do that with love because you certainly don't want to hurt anybody. But it has to be done. That's why God gives the elders, or according to the book of Acts, the bishops of the church, or the overseers of the church. And they're put there to keep order and to, you know, make sure that nobody is abusing anyone else, and so on and so forth. And that's necessary. And, of course, you want to hear teaching from the elders as the Lord leads. And you want to hear guidance from the elders as the Lord leads. You need all these things. You need prophetic direction from the elder prophets and so on and so forth. You need all these things. But also that the body would grow up each one into their ministry. We know from Ephesians that the whole purpose of the body is that everyone grow up into whatever their ministry calling is, right? So, praise God for that, right? Let's see. Let me share this with you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering. There it is. Unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. So the body is being built up so that each one, that their ministry would be perfected, whatever that is in them. Not that everybody is going to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist. That's not true, obviously. But we all have ministry because we all have gifts, right? Everybody that's spirit-filled should have gifts. And so we're seeking, once again, I believe the timing is right now. We're seeking, once again, this body ministry. We're seeking that we're getting experience of the elders working together and flowing in the Spirit and so on. And as you've noticed, we've started doing this. Again, this is not to say we won't have teachings, we won't have TV programs and things like that. We will definitely do that. But we'll do more of this. And I want to say something else to you about your local bodies out there. You know, the local fellowships that are gathering, you know, who consider themselves a part of UBM. That this will work very well in your midst. You know, even in cases where you don't have elders, you know, is you come together expecting the Holy Spirit to move. Of course, everyone has learned to respect the Scriptures by and large. And so we don't want to depart from that. And many times the Scriptures that are in your mind are not necessarily the ones that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance in someone else's mind, but he will bring balance. You know, if you love the truth and you don't want to depart from the Word, he will bring balance. In the days ahead, we know that the Lord is going to ordain the elders in every group. He's going to bring forth his anointed man-child ministry to ordain apostles, and apostles to ordain elders, and so on and so forth. These things are going to happen. And very quickly, I feel. And so, but until then, I would say, you know, stay in the unity of the Spirit until you come to the unity of the faith. Don't try to exercise authority over one another. It's better that you walk in the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit and receive from each member of the body and obey the Scriptures as they are commanding us when we come together. So I appreciate you putting up with me and listening to that. And I'm looking forward. I have for many years been looking forward to returning to that place where I could see the body working together. I agree it is a little bit hard because of the kind of ministry that we have. This media-style ministry is reaching out to people that obviously don't have anything around them. Any scriptural fellowship around them, scriptural teaching around them, and it's very hard to do this, but I believe the Holy Spirit's going to give us wisdom, and I just praise God for Him.